This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run and you're here with Lynn and Shaoning. 7:48 a.m. Friday the 19th of June, and we're taking a look this morning at the Malaysian economy, because although our economy has reopened following 3 months of movement restrictions, there are no illusions that the path to recovery will be anything remotely resembling smooth sailing. So on Wednesday, BFM sat down with members of the senior management team at EPF, including CEO Tunku Ali Zakri alias. And you were there, weren't you, Shaoning?
Yes, I was. And some of the things that we talked about, was of course the economy, and some of it was, I think we talked about it on the show actually, which was about investments. But today, I think we're going to have a discussion on the outlook of the Malaysian economy post COVID-19. And, you know, this is an extremely important conversation because, you know, there's so much uncertainty out there.
So one of the big questions, of course, on everyone's mind is, what will be the shape of Malaysia's economic recovery? Will it be a V? Will it be a U? Will it be a W? Will it be something else? Now, the EPF team didn't have an answer, but Tunku Ali Zakri alias did point out some of the elements that may influence this trajectory.
The big question is, how much more armament does each economy and each government have? Because again, as we were mentioning, they're talking about insane numbers, previously insane numbers in terms of direct stimulus into the economy. How long can they keep on surviving, right? And also in terms of the vigilance, are you going to go through a second wave? If you go into a second wave, I think there might be a multiplier effect in terms of the recession that might actually occur.
Chief Strategic Officer Noor Hisham Hussein also weighed in on other factors that will impact the economic recovery.
The key question that we need to ask, and we really don't know this, is how much damage was done during MCO? The second aspect of it is outside of Malaysia, because Malaysia is very trade dependent. So it, in a very real sense, it also depends on how everybody else is doing. And in that sense, I think Europe, I think, has gotten out of it relatively well. Japan has come out of it relatively well. China has come out of it relatively well. The US is doing a very bad job.
And that was EPF's Chief Strategic Officer, Noor Hisham Hussein. Now, Tunku Ali Zakri also highlighted the importance of social security as a major theme coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic.
COVID, to me, is the great revealer, you know, because it actually reveals the shortcomings of any infrastructure, whether you're talking about an organization, a company, or even an economy. I think for Malaysia, we actually have to wake up. The social security infrastructure has to be really looked at to ensure that our people are able to go and survive any future shocks that happens. And in terms of recoverability also, I mean, recession 101 is also in terms of your, what's the word for it? When you're feeling good, that's when you'll actually come out of recession much faster, isn't it? So when people actually feel like their base social structure is taken care of, then they will actually start thinking about tomorrow. But if their base structure is not being seen to, that's when that people will say, I don't want to spend.
Tunku Ali Zakri also made the observation that digital capacity will be a vital component of social security.
Last time when we used to talk about social security, it was shelter, health, income security,
education,
nutrition or food, and mobility, right? But through COVID, I think another aspect of social security is your digital divide. That is now going to be a fundamental aspect of social security. Every citizen of a country must have access to the digital capabilities. Because, I mean, it's as easy as, I don't know how many of you were working from home and you were fighting for your workspace with either your husband or wife and children at the same time, who was also doing online classes, right? That is because we are lucky enough to be able to go and provide each of them with a device. But majority of households out there, you'll be lucky if you have even one. So can you imagine, right? Just say, I need to do it. The wife needs to do it at the same time. The kids needs to go to school. And you only have one device.
Yeah, I think we've had this discussion several times when we talk about the importance of ensuring education is available to every child in the country, right? The fact that our digital take-up is actually surprisingly quite uneven. You know, yes, you know, here in the urban centres, you have kids who are able to access devices. What about in the rural areas? What about the urban poor? I think those questions are still a little bit up in the air. But now, one of the other issues that was raised was also regarding rising unemployment, because given the fact that EPF depends on contributions from those who are working. Were they concerned, perhaps, that unemployment would affect their inflows?
Yeah, Tunku Ali Zakri gave an interesting take in that contributions depend as much on employees as the employers, and that sustainable employment is important for both sides. He also spoke about making sure EPF stays relevant to the changing structure of the labour economy.
But the thing is what is our response to it? One of the things is we must also recognize that employers is a very vital component of this entire ecosystem, right? Previously, we used to look at our employers as potential defaulters. But moving forward, we need to ensure sustainability of the employers to, in order to provide jobs so that then we can also do our job, right? In terms of getting our money, the money in. When you talk about the gig economy also, we are making ourselves relevant more and more. You know, trying to go and work with Grabs, opening up Aisaraan so that now it becomes voluntary. Mm-hmm. I think we also need to start talking about, hey, maybe we might need to go all the other extreme and make it mandatory for all workers, notwithstanding whether you're gig. How to do it, that's a different matter altogether, you know?
Now, we also asked Tunku Ali Zakri what would EPF do if it was asked to make an investment decision that may not be accretive, especially in the current climate where many companies, including GLCs, are battling for survival and governments are looking to raise funds. So his answer here was reassuring. He said that EPF makes its investments based on what's best for its members.
So again, we will look at it from a case-by-case basis. If it makes sense for us, it makes sense from a risk-return profile, we will subscribe to it. Tapi sebab duit ni bukan duit rakyat, ini duit ahli. So, kita akan mengendalikan apa-apa investment yang kita buat professionally. That is my guarantee to our members lah. Everything is done professionally, is done above board. Our governance structure is very, 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 very tight. If it makes sense for us, we will subscribe to it.
He was also pressed whether he personally felt pressure as the CEO to make difficult investment decisions.
We have established governance practices in place already. You know, all I have to do is just talk to our policy. It's as easy as that. But then sometimes also, you know, you need to go and make a judgment call. Because sometimes it's not about the what, right? To deliver the what is what our policies dictates. The job of a CEO is how to deliver the what. Yeah, there are very different ways for you to do it. So a good CEO will find the best way to still stick within your mandate and deliver your mandate.
And that was Tunku Ali Zakri, alias CEO of EPF, speaking at an exclusive media roundtable that happened just a few days ago. Now, we've also been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, have you dipped into your EPF savings through the MCO? Now, 74% of our respondents, we had about 150 votes, said no, they hadn't dipped into their EPF savings. 12% said yes through iLestari. Another 6% said yes, dropped 77%. Not 70%, 7%. And another 7% said yes to both iLestari and the drop of 7%.
Yeah, the reason why we are asking this poll is because during that conversation, that media roundtable, this was one of the discussions about who was making withdrawals or how much was being withdrawn from the iLestari accounts. Now, he actually, Tunku Ali Zakri, highlighted that some EPF members had already exhausted their account too. And the iLestari facility actually allows EPF members age 55 and below to withdraw between 50 and 500 ringgit a month for 12 months until March 31st, 2021, subject to funds available in their own account. So imagine some people have already, you know, gotten to zero. And that kind of also highlighted the point that do we then really know how bad the situation is when people really need to do something like this? Is there worse to come? Or is it because people feel, huh, I can withdraw, so I should do it without taking thought or without thinking that, hey, this is actually my money, you know, because and this will affect my retirement plans.
Yeah, because this is not free money, right? This is something that you're going to have to pay for maybe not tomorrow, but in several years' time when you eventually have to retire. Now, according to estimates from The Edge, based on EPF's annual report, over a third of EPF members don't have enough money in their account to withdraw the maximum 500 ringgit a month, so which equates to about 6,000 ringgit a year. And it just goes to show the dire situation that a lot of EPF members find themselves in. You know, we've talked a bit before about the fact that a good portion of EPF members don't have enough money in their accounts to actually survive beyond 5 years, I think it was.
Yeah. EPF recommends, and they're going to revise it, that the retirement amount that you should have is 240,000. Now, sadly, the number of people who have that is probably less than 20%. In fact, very likely, people who have 50,000 or less, that's probably going to be the majority. So we're talking about at least above 60% of them. So yeah, Malaysians need to think a little bit harder about their retirement plans. And also, you actually really cannot just rely on EPF. That's the reality.
Absolutely. So if you're wanting to up your financial literacy game as well, you can also tune into our Ringgit and Sense program, which is the show that is all about personal finance. Happens Thursdays at 9:30 a.m. You can also find the podcasts on the BFM app as well as on Spotify. But right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, The Breakfast Grill, where Shaning speaks with Idham Nawawi, Chief Executive Officer of Celcom Axiata Berhad. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.